Holger Schulze, Universität der Künste Berlin, Germany. I have three points I would like to take out of the discussion, maybe to fuel it even more. So the question first, audio versus sound, or auditory, or acoustic, or whatever. I would say these are questions that are mostly fight about words. Because if you look on the visual field, you have iconic, pictorial, visual, imagery. You have so many words, and they mean actually, if it goes to institution, more or less the same thing. Of course, they have different specific approaches, but they deal with seeing, with images, with the visual world. And I think we shouldn't quarrel about this world, audio and sound. Actually, we all know if we speak about sound, we speak about listening, we speak about specific sounds. So you can't really separate those two. Second point I'd like to add, the question of media technology. I'd say also that's an absolute basis and an absolute foundation of what we're talking about because of the changes Rolf Grossmann has shown. But I think also, as you said, that it's important to see if there are other means of methodology that go through listen, through sounding, and not through writing, through formula, through technology, which is more or less a scriptural-based idea. It's not auditorily mostly. It's mostly thought about formulas, it's scriptural, it has the model of writing. Always, in all our technology, we go from left to right, and we leave signs all the time. It's like writing all the time. So we can think this differently. And the question is, could there be really an auditory or sound epistemology and methodology that does not need to write or read, but listen, make sound? And finally, so I would also want to tell if Krifte said that this sonic knowledge that practitioners have, this is interesting. So what knows a midwife, for instance, or what knows a piano tuning specialist? They have a knowledge which is far more specialist, I'd say, and that's interesting for this discipline. And finally, to make a point on the question for the institutions, do we need this or don't we need this? So I'm working, teaching, researching at an art university, so part design, art and part humanities. And there we have a huge visual communications department, and also, of course, painting and sculpture. And we have some people doing audiovisual, which, of course, is visual with a bit of sound. But I'd say any of those universities needs an acoustic communication department that is at least as big as a visual communication department. And I think this is the idea behind it, to say if we're really dealing with this sense and this whole sensory field and what goes with it, then it's not possible to do it in part time as a simple add-on to the visual. So this is why I said I'd like to say that certain field, whatever name it has, is necessary, that deals with the design and cultural and historical and media aspects of listening and sounding, whatever name we use them. Thank you.
Yes, and then it was...
Yes, and this is George Brocknanistan.
Your name?
George Brocknanistan.
Thank you.
Yes.
I didn't...
Oh, sorry. No, the point is... sounds are things that the human beings have been relying on for so much that some of the reactions are instinctive, more or less. We can train it. We can train our ears to perceive differences, minute differences in phenomena, and this is what these specialists we have heard examples of did. If we are to have sound studies, we will think about the disciplines. How did it develop? Sound studies, acoustics developed out of physiology. This was Hans Müller on one side, and it was Plotny, and those who were thinking about musical relationships, harmonics and things. And they fused together, and another physiologist took over, which was Helmholtz, who founded the teaching people to be specialists in many fields would be a very, very useful thing. Already used in language, phonetics. My analogs compared the study of phonetics to the study of phonology practice in music. So I've taken two completely different, or they were divergent disciplines, and joined them again into one discipline, which is performance practice.
That is the way the language develops.
Before writing, we have oral tradition. Developing memory for sounds is good. People have surprising memory. So do we want to be disciplined? If we have that, we have to include the handicaps. What kind of hearing aids should you have when you want to listen to music? Of speech. All studies, all developments in hearing aids are towards increasing speech communication in the old, in those who have 120 decibels hearing loss in certain areas. Some of them even down to 2 kilohertz.
And then the blind.
What do they hear?
Now we draw upon the experiences of the blind in the various
studies that contribute to this perhaps starting a new discipline.
I think there are many things open, but again, the usefulness, the applied sounds studies would probably be the best start because we have a lot of theoretical foundation already.
Thank you. And then was Eric, and then there was somebody
else. Can I say something directly?
Yes.
There were some examples that are definitely no musicology objectives that you have. So in your applied sound studies, is there musicology in or
yes.
Is it out?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Erik Stangskog, University of Copenhagen. According to the program, I want to challenge the disciplinarization of sound studies. I'm perfectly aware that we cannot build down the disciplines in our universities, but I would like to try. I do my best, and I would say that most likely to discipline sound studies will be to destroy it. Even what we're doing now is kind of dangerous for sedimenting ways to speak about sound. But we have to sort of have a dialogue going across different approaches to sound. And I sort of the field of sound studies, in the title I kind of appreciate, but the disciplining that is simply, in my view, giving in to the bureaucratization of university and applying for money and have no reason whatsoever outside of that. And let me take one example to illustrate what I'm thinking about. Building up particular departments of gender studies is actually a disaster to gender studies. Because if gender studies had been taken up in the traditional departments instead, and then having meeting places with people from different departments working with gender studies, the field would probably have developed better. I think the same could happen with sound studies if it became departments.
Okay, and then? Do you want to hand it over? Do you want to comment on that, or just listening?
It's no surprise that I completely agree, I guess.
Okay, my name is Franz Mosberg, and I come from Lund University, from the Sound Environment Center in Lund University, which must be mentioned here, I think, because we are working with very much of the same problems and questions like we are discussing here. The center in Lund is a sort of construction to, how shall I say, benefit interdisciplinary research on sound with, although me as a project leader, manager, and the director of the Center of Musicologists. So I would say that maybe this, there has to be sort of a weight somewhere. You, here is a certain weight in cultural studies. And someone mentioned that where are the acoustics? And it has to be in a certain way. Some, we can't avoid that. In Lund, we have a weight on health issues like noise questions and also on acoustics. But we have sort of the big the view and the vision that you're talking about. And I've been representing the center in some acoustic big conferences around the world, I'd say, and my experience is that acoustics is a very, very big topic. I mean, there's so much happening there, and it's very wide, much wider than one might think. And it's a bit strange that the discussions are leaving that area totally out.
So we should have invited those acoustics in our call.
I think definitely it could be a good idea.
Next time.
Next time. Yeah. So let me discuss more.
Are you all satisfied? No? Okay, you'll have a try first and then you'll. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Leslie Corrick. I'm from.
Could you stand up?
Yes, I'm from York University in Toronto, Canada. And I have to say, with regard to the comments that have been made so far, I'm very much leaning in this gentleman's direction. I think perhaps we're not necessarily asking or framing the question in the way that might be most useful to us. I'm looking back on the screen at Rolf's question, are sound studies a new discipline, or is sound studies a new discipline? I think whether or not it becomes a discipline very much depends on what your goal is. If you want to illuminate your discipline-based research through sound, and here I'm using Jacob's term through rather than into, through sound, then I think you will, by definition, discipline sound and all that entails. If, on the other hand, you want to expand as well as illuminate your research, discipline-based or otherwise, you will work very hard to maintain sound as free from discipline. I think perhaps reframing the question or resetting the question in terms of what the bigger goals are that you expect from sound or possibly sound studies might push us to discuss this from different directions than we've done in the last half hour or so.
But you wouldn't be able to formulate a new sentence about research and sound?
I wouldn't. Are you asking me if I would be able to do
that?
Yeah.
We have research into sound or research through sound. And what would you?
Well, I think for me, I can live slightly more comfortably with research through sound, because I think as long as one is working through sound, one can start anywhere and potentially end up in a myriad of different places. And I think that right now is the beauty of sound as a meta-discipline, as a meta-form, as a meta-medium or a meta-form. I think this is more important to me than subjecting it to discipline or trying to establish a methodology, a single methodology that traverses disciplines, that is based in a canon of texts. What I like about sound from a personal perspective is that it seems to be helping us to work around themes related to interdisciplinarity, and let me elaborate just a little bit on that. In my neck of the woods where I work, there's been a stepping back away from interdisciplinary theory and practice, perhaps not unlike what Rolf mentioned in his opening remarks. And one of the things that has happened is that those who are stepping back are replacing the notion of the concept of interdisciplinarity with the notion or concept of medium. I accept sound as a medium. If sound becomes a way of keeping interdisciplinarity as a research mode alive, then so be it. I will accept sound as another alternative. But the minute sound is disciplined, it doesn't serve that function anymore. So that's part of what's behind my thinking in asking this question about what is your goal for the disciplining or not of sound studies.
But what is your solution for the institutional question?
Well,
that
may be the bigger question, but we are not to decide anyway. I guess looking again from from the point of view of my institution, I am actually the leader of a research group called the Sound Seminar, and our seminar is made up of a variety of researchers and artists from different disciplines, and in fact from a consortium of different universities, and we have, by some miracle, been funded in spite of the fact that we have made the statement that we do not want to belong to any department, discipline, faculty, or other institutional structure. So perhaps I speak from a place of luxury.
So I hear always this answer. It's true for me because I have my own things and I can make my research. I have no problems with persons. But if it goes to the curriculum of bachelor education or so, then I have a great problem. And I think we could not push this question aside if we want to do a good bachelor or master education, because we are inside these programs, and so we have to make programs that are convincing, and they have to be, in a sense, disciplinary.
But there, I'll just make one comment and then pass the mic back again. I do think that we must be careful not to sacrifice philosophical position every time in favor of institutional or bureaucratic structure. So I guess my call would be for greater creativity of thinking around the very question that you so rightly posed.
I would just, there are another movement here in Denmark, for example, that we go towards more interdisciplinarity in our education. So I think it's a different status around in the different kind of university countries. Yes, then it was you. And yeah.
Thank you. George Brocknamstad again.
Yes, thank you.
the point is, I agree 100% with Erik Steinskog. I don't want a new field of study. I think it is superfluous. What we need are networks of excellence. And that those are supported. They are not formal. You cannot be a professor in that. And of course, that is a problem career-wise for some. But I think that is very important, and also the speaker from Toronto also indicated the sort of declining the spectre that I had presented of what it should all encompass. I don't think we could study the subjects, but we should not make it into one discipline. I don't think so. The strange thing is, there was a call for paper. And of course, I only saw those things that attracted me, and let go of the others because I had nothing to contribute. But when I saw the total program, I said to myself, oh, this is lovely. We are reinventing musique concrète. The whole thing is basically about how to reintroduce environmental sounds into our music. Of course, I kind of checked my hypothesis because we have five parallel channels in the conference, and I stick to those that I'm very interested about. But it seemed from the program that that is what has happened.
I can't tell. It's contingents. Yes, you can give it to Erik, and then afterwards it's what?
Yes, just a short answer to Mark's question about the curriculum. I mean, it's not any more difficult to have a course on the bachelor level in musicology about sound than it is to have one about gender studies. So, and at that level, most of our teaching are introductory anyway, so it's at the research level where the field of sound study becomes something more than introducing to our students that here's a shitload of books you really need to hear and listen to, and the music. And then you can, and I mean, this is my basic argument, you can actually work across the disciplines. And as soon as you start to de-disciplinize the university, then projects like this, what we're doing now, becomes easier, instead of making it more troublesome by raising the barriers between the sub-disciplines of, for example, sensations, where you study each sense in a singular department, and where is the body?
Okay, thank you. And then it's more.
I want to answer because it's not very convincing, because if we take the new literacy of phonography serious, we have to have a new curriculum in perhaps musicology, or what is it named? It's not important. So you have a course in hearing, you have a course in technical means, you have to hear filters, you have to hear compressors, you have to hear all these things from hearing, and you have to know how these tools function. You have to know what are virtual environments in music production, all these things. You have to know what is sequencing. So, and then you understand what some people make in electronica or in dub or in what in drum and bass and in experimental electronica. And we have to do more than one course, a little bit phonography.
I keep on about this institutionalization, because both Jakob and Tala spoke as if we were in some ways able to avoid it. And I don't think we can. The train is running and we are on board whether we want it or not. We can't jump off and not do anything about sound, study something completely different. That's an option. Otherwise, we are there. We can see it. We are going to hear about new journals a bit later on. Many people here are having curriculums in the institutions, which means that we actually teach students sound studies, auditive culture, that are quite a lot of different names, but we are. Quite a lot of us are saying to our students or showing our students that it is actually the case. There is something called something with sound, which you can study separately from musicology, from anthropology, from quite a lot of other things. So we are in the middle of the ball. Although I sympathize very much with both Erin and Lester's remarks, the debate is rather how to avoid the worst things about becoming institutions, becoming departments of gender studies. So I think maybe the question is how can we avoid becoming departments, not fields of studies. What other solutions are there to academic organization, both academic organization and organization of knowledge within the present universities, which will take all of us in more or less, at least in the administrative side. How can we find our ways around that, trying to avoid at least some of the traditional academic power struggles that are inherent in the structure that we live in and live from? And then more detailed questions to the panel. Jakob, you said there wasn't a canon in your second remark, but in your first remark you've referred quite a lot to it. So I was thinking that there is, and a telephone question of terminology. At least there's been one quite substantial suggestion from Jean-François Bouillard and Henri Torc about terminology for sound studies. So it's a way to start, not start discussing terminology, but continue discussion. construction of terminology for the field. And then Rolf, you, in one of your slides, you have former works, formerly works, which turn in some way into media works. And could you expand on what a media work is?
Okay, then you can stand up afterwards, and then it's just, yes, but we just had the answers before, so you have them.
Yes.
It was you, Jakob first, and then Rolf, and then Tilly.
Well, yes, thank you for the question. Of course, Maud, you're right, and that I did refer to a canon, and I wouldn't mind, you know, making my own. and I'm sure, I mean, I see those works that I refer to as substantial and very important for the field. Though I'm not sure, I mean, we all share those references. It could be a question. And the other thing, well, how to avoid departments. I'm really not experienced in that genre. But I think rather than discussing institutionalization, I would like to discuss, I mean, what would be important for us people working within the field of sound studies, auditory culture, or related stuff to develop. And I'm sure there are some very important issues that could be addressed and that could have relevance for a broader field, for example, of cultural studies. And I would like to get back to what Anto said about the development of methodologies and practices, not the least. One thing that I see with the people that I work with is an increased ability, for example, to work with sound production, work with radio production, not. Musicality has had this connection between, you know, studying music and playing music, but I see now there's a lot of interest in recording sound, putting together sound, producing sound pieces, whether they be narrative or more musical, and I think that kind of practice is very much or very central to developing, you know, new ways of understanding sound, and maybe it also will help us look in new ways at this idea of studying or the or at the distinctions between study objects and dissemination of the study object. I think we could be able to circulate more between such categories in the field of auditory culture or sound studies.
Okay, and then I ask you to make it half short for the next, because we have you and you and you, and we have 10 minutes. And of course, if there are any more that wants to, we try to reach. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for this question, because it gives me a forum to say what I mean with expanding musicology. My opinion is that we should use the competence and some of the terms of this old musicology, because they have a long tradition and they are not so bad. But they are not. They don't really fit for this new phonographic literacy. So what can we do? We can say, no, we have no words, and perhaps if you show to the dynamic versioning in DAB or so, you have no one identity or one work. You have a dynamic work with many versions, or you have no works and only the versions. But you need the term of the work to have a versus thing to get it as a, in German we say Aufführungspraxis, a performance praxis or so, it, like live music. So I don't like to decide between live music and the DJ plays records. So that pushed me away to explore musicology.
Okay, that was an answer. And then, Timothy?
Yes, they're almost putting me into a debate on the concept of work, which I put it down left and down, as a commerce, an economic concept and also a music concept. But that's a digression. I think there is one point we are trying somehow overlooking. When you mention compressors and filters, then I think, okay, are you talking about sound or are you talking about music? You can do both, of course. But in a discourse in the studio or among musicians, when you talk about compressor, you are talking about music. You're not talking about sound. And a compressor is a music given effect or a music given tool. And the way you talk about compressors in the studio is a way of talking about music. So that is strictly within musicology, I think.
It's musical material, I said before. So.
Okay.
But you can also talk about it as sound, but then it's a different discipline.
Okay, and then you?
I think after talking about what sound studies could be or are, I'd like to emphasize the point, I think, which all of us do anyway. And this is also de-questioning the disciplinary question, I think, because we are already, I think, most of all, working interdisciplinary.